So you missed it live or just want to listen to it again? Here is a Chai FM podcast just for you. Avi on Money. 12 to 1 p.m. only on 101.9 Chai FM.
Welcome to 101.9 Chai FM. It's 7 minutes past the hour. It's great to have you with us. Just to let you know that this is not the economic show, and this is all going to be about business. What we're going to be discussing today is if you are a budding entrepreneur, if you are a successful entrepreneur, if you are anybody who's in business and you really want to understand how you get yourself to the next level, that's what this show is all about. In studio with me is Chris and Suzanne Stiles. I'm not going to introduce them. They'll introduce themselves simply because I think if I give you guys a title, I'm going to get it wrong. Suzanne, Chris, welcome to the Avion Business Show.
Thank you so much. It's so wonderful to be here.
Great.
Indeed, thank you.
Great. I know you've done a lot of radio work, but the format here is very different. We've got an hour, and the hour is really to inform the listenership. The people are listening to the show, which is going to be played now live, repeated again at 6 o'clock this evening, and then some ungodly hour in the morning, tomorrow morning, which a lot of people listen to.
Wow.
Either they're going to gym or they're going to work. Some people say, I hear you three times in like 48 hours. What's going on? Really what I want to do is I want to use the hour as an informative session to really maybe introduce yourselves as a start, your background, where you're coming from, then go into what your business actually does and how you add value and how you aid the business person. And as the questions come through, I'll ask them. And also then towards the end, maybe let's give a bit of advice, a bit of guidance. And again, upfront, this is not financial advice. This is just general advice in the business field. If you have anything specific, please SMS us on 34519. You can email us on air at chaifm.com. I would advise you to go to the website. All you have to do is just Google Chris and Suzanne Stiles. It comes up very quickly. You go into the website. It's a great website. Don't get carried away like I did. I spent a little bit longer than I should have there this morning. The video clips, guys, are really well done. And whoever designed your website,
thank you.
Well done, because it's relevant. It's easy to navigate. I get absolutely frustrated when I go on websites and I just can't find what I'm looking for. And I think for me, the litmus test is if I can, for example, this morning, I needed to find something for a trailer. So I Googled Fenta trailers came up. I went into the website, I hit the contact button, the number came up, all that done at the robot. So well done to Fenta, because that website really worked.
Indeed.
And I got the answer I needed and I know what the price is. So that's done. Right. Ladies first. Suzanne, let's go a little bit back. Where do you come from? What's your whole motive and what's your business all about?
Well, my background is very unconventional. I was born in the UK. And I had a very unconventional upbringing. My mom and my stepdad were basically people that liked to party a lot, weren't great with kids, and it was just myself and my half-brother. So I literally became a parent to him when he was born, started looking after him, and I wanted to make sure there was always enough money for food. So at the age of 8, I syndicated a paper round. I was too young, but I lived 2 doors away from the newsagent. So I used to wrap and tag the boys' newspapers. And that meant they could sleep for a half an hour later. And this was just me. I just found ways of making money. Came to South Africa when I was 15. Really, I came on a holiday. My mom and my stepdad came out. I came out thinking I'll be here for 6 months. I'm going to go back to the UK. And just fell in love with it. But I was unconventional once again, wanted to get out of the home. Didn't finish high school, got pregnant, got married, got divorced, had lots of children while I was married. So I just ended up really in a space in my 20s where I had no qualifications and I had no real skills. So I started to self-teach myself. How could I become successful? How could I become successful as an entrepreneur? I did get some training in the ad industry. I became a director of one of the first female directors of an outdoor advertising company. Loved advertising, opened my own business, and then found my real passion. My business was very successful. I did very, very well, but my passion was growing the suppliers that worked for me. I used to outsource everything. I only employed women. And I used to outsource anything else that was operational. And I would find somebody who was good at what they did. I would help them develop their services into a business. I'd train them up to give me brilliant services, and then I'd let all my competitors employ them too.
You know, it's listening to you. My mind's all over the show, but maybe let's just deal with that last thing. I've just come from a company in Germiston this morning, and I drove in. It's an engineering works, and it was scary. It was like a ghost town. You know, you see in the movies those shut down factories.
Yes.
Was one of those. Mm-hmm. And I walked into the manager's office, and there's one guy behind a big wooden desk, and there's no one around. And when I inquired as to what happened, well, they had really one client for 35 years, Sasol, and they were doing a lot of whatever the engineering was for them. And yesterday, last year, they just changed their service provider. They went to someone else. And 87 people lost their job overnight.
Wow.
And, you know, here is a case of not being able to adapt, not being able to find something else, not having different opportunities. And when that one source died, you did just the opposite. You went and found multiple sources. You weren't paranoid about building up the people that were working with you. And that ultimately came back to support you. But let's just go back another thing. And I know this is not the psychology show, but it sounds like you fell into that typical syndrome. You were a young girl. You came to South Africa. Life just led you on this roller coaster of disaster. But somewhere in you, there must have been a really strong personality. There must have been that will to succeed. You had many kids. You had no money. You were vulnerable. But yet somehow you overcame that. What is that thread that you hung on to that was able to pull you through from that potentially self-destructive scenario into who you are today?
Well, I really believe it's just absolute will. It's the will to succeed, knowing that if you keep going, you will get something right. You're going to get a lot of things wrong. But if you keep going, everything you do that becomes a disaster, find the lesson, bank it, chuck the rest of it away. Don't let it just drag you down all the time. I mean, we're all only human, so certain things do come back up as paradigms that you find, oh, you know, that happened a long time ago, let it go. But for me, it was this absolute desire and thirst to know more and know that I can do stuff. I can do it.
This is Chai FM. It is a Jewish radio station. So to throw in a Jewish expression, it's actually a philosophical expression, and it goes in Hebrew, Ein davar omed lifnei haratzon, which means that nothing stands in front of a human will.
Yes.
If someone wants something big enough and bad enough and is thirsty enough, they will find a way to make it happen.
I believe that.
Now, necessity is the mother of invention sort of scenario. And there, you know, again, I've looked at the soccer. I'm not a big sports character at all, and I've looked at the World Cup. And I've just noticed how many times a player hits the ground. He wasn't even near the ball, and somebody bumps him, someone falls, and all he does is shakes his head, holds his leg, you know, gets a bit of sympathy, gets up and carries on. The game goes on. And
for sure.
Every time he fell down, if you realize, well, that's it, I've had enough. It's 85 minutes in, we're 2-0 down. Ugh, what's the point? But he doesn't. He gets up and he plays for the team. And again, that's maybe a lesson, a microcosm for the macro of our lives, that got to get up and make it happen. Chris, you see you nodding your head there.
Absolutely. In fact, what came to mind as you were sharing that was a beautiful lesson which Bob Proctor taught us. And he actually said, just as a magnifying glass marshals the energy of the sun into a very fine point that has sufficient energy to burn a hole through paper, so will marshals the energy of the mind and the spirit and the body and will get you wherever you want to go. Beautiful.
Absolutely. That's the poignancy of this whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, again, someone said to me many years ago that, you know, to succeed in business, there's only one muscle that really counts, and that's the one between your two ears.
For sure.
If that's in tune and it's tough, you're going to weather the storm. And again, the same adage, and maybe let's just end off with this because we sidetracked. But if you're driving from Joburg to Cape Town and your goal's ultimately in Cape Town and you get a puncture outside Bloemfontein, you don't throw away your car and abandon your journey. You simply fix up the problem and you continue.
For sure.
And that's what a business career is all about, is that you know, there are going to be ups and downs. And as Donald Trump says, if you don't take the momentum from the downs, there's no way you're going to get up the ups.
Well, what is actually very interesting is if you look at the media at the moment, it's full of writings on entrepreneurship, small business. We now have a minister of small business that has been appointed. And what I find absolutely fascinating is that the small business and entrepreneurship has been made very, very sexy. But at the same time, there's the hard edge to it. And that is having to continue. And again, I come back to one of the most powerful lessons a mentor of ours taught us, and that was, how does a rocket get to the moon? It fails its way there, and it recalibrates constantly to get back on course. That is exactly what business and life success is all about.
And where does a bird the most feel?
When it starts.
On the way up. But anyway, Suzanne, let's come back. So the bottom line is that after your rocky beginning, this absolute desire to succeed and to be a success, build other people as you go along, not this paranoia of I need to stand on everybody in order to succeed. But if I lift everybody up, the tide will automatically lift us all up together. And, you know, if I've done the right thing, then I'll ultimately be the winner. When did you decide, let's put it this way, let's just get to today. What do you guys actually do today?
What we do today is help businesses and people design their success. Because one of the most difficult things for most people is you say to somebody, what do you want? And they'll spend 20 minutes telling you everything they don't want, either in their personal lives or their business. And it is very hard. You know, there are so many big workshops that you can go to. There are so many multi-speaker events you can go to. And people are offering you success options everywhere. But if you don't know what you want, you're not going to get it. If you can tell me everything you don't want, that's great. But what do you want? Because if you're focusing on what you don't want, that's what you're getting. Everything you don't want. So what we actually do is we work with anybody from a solopreneur through to big multinational corporates with big teams in their teams. And we look at the individual and we align an individual's key power source, their values, their desires, their goals with their lives, their careers or their businesses. That's exactly what we do.
One word that keeps coming to mind, and that's fun. When you listen to a person like Richard Branson.
Yes.
Since day one, his whole attitude was, are we having fun? Are we enjoying what we're doing? Again, I'm putting kids through varsity at the moment, and my whole focus is do what you want to do. Do what you're passionate about, not what's going to make money. Because ultimately, how many accountants and lawyers do we know that are qualified but never practiced?
For sure.
You know, and are miserable in what they're doing. Is business about fun?
It's about acknowledging and living your passion, and ultimately it is about fun. So many people come and say to us, my passion is this, but you can't monetize it. And I say, says who? You know, if you can sell a Brussels sprout on eBay for £80,000 because it was the last Christmas dinner Brussels sprout, you cannot tell me you cannot monetize your passion. It's just that we are conditioned from small to grow up, go to school, get real, get an education, get a degree, and then get the really bad three-letter word, a job. And that is not what life's about. Where's the fun in that? You've got to grow up and have a life and be passionate. Richard Branson was absolutely correct. The people in Virgin have fun. Why? Because they look at what it is the people in Virgin want to do. They motivate the staff within Virgin to come up with ideas to make Virgin or any of the other companies that Richard Branson is involved with a better, more effective company. They're rewarded for those ideas. And that's why they're fun.
Well, Suzanne, so we need to take a break. Let's let's take a quick break, and when we come back, let's maybe go on to into the next cog, into the next phase of it, and look at one or two issues that are coming through now, and then we'll take it from there.
Avi on Money, 12 to 1 p.m. only on 101.9 Chai FM.
Welcome back to 101.9 Chai FM. It's 22 minutes past the hour. In studio with me is Chris and Suzelle. It's great to have you guys here. And I must say, trying to read the SMSs and the tweets that are coming through and listening to you, it's just such a broad topic. And maybe we're not doing it justice because it maybe needs three shows. One is an introduction as to where you guys are coming from and what your aims and ambitions are. Number two, what you're actually doing. And number three, an implementation thereof. But Chris, maybe let's repeat what you said to me off air about, because I said to you, what's your African connection? And Suzanne, you said, you know, to take the message into Africa. And you then went on another tangent. But before we do that, have you guys ever read the book Africa Trek?
No.
No, we haven't. It's one we'll have to have a look
at. Thank you.
Okay, have you heard of, you know what it's all about?
No.
This is a fascinating book about a young French couple, the surname's Poisson, and they walked from Cape Point to the Sea of Galilee in Israel, through Africa, took them 3 years. She walked from the Sinai Desert to Israel pregnant. Wow. Because she happened to fall pregnant and they were going to continue. Their backpacks were each 7 kilos. They carried absolutely nothing on them. She wore a skirt, and when she was asked why, she says, because when you're in Africa and you approach a village, you need to be dressed like a woman. You know, you need to, you know, and that was an interesting sort of thing. They carried a change of underwear, a change of socks, a credit card, a bit of money, half a sleeping mat, a sleeping bag, and that was it. And they were never attacked. They were never robbed. Their motto was they were never allowed to pay for accommodation. So they had to be put up by people's graciousness through Africa, which they did. And to just listen to these people is a phenomenal thing. And why I'm mentioning is that if we're going to venture into Africa, a book like this really brings the beauty and the robustness of the individuals in the continent alive. They weren't business people. They weren't asking for anything. They weren't looking. They were just there to experience.
Absolutely.
And I said, and why did they walk as opposed to doing it any other way? And I've experienced myself. When you walk, you see things that you would just pass by in the car. Mm. So maybe just go and pick it up as a side.
Absolutely.
But right, after my lengthy 3-minute introduction, where are you guys going in Africa? You said, just to summarize it, we get cut and paste models that come from overseas and they're going to paste them over here. It worked over there. It should work over here. Just plug these things in and you're good to go. What's your background that makes your course different?
Well, thank you for asking, Avi. I have quite a colorful background. Unlike Suzanne, who didn't complete matric and then went off and as an entrepreneur made an enormous amount of money, I completed matric with a whole bunch of distinctions, went on, got an enormous amount of degrees, and then found myself completely broke on the verge of completing a PhD thesis. And that really got me thinking about, you know, what exactly is life, what exactly is success, and what exactly am I doing? Now, I'm eternally grateful for the education I acquired, and what I did when I left school is I went to a BSc in zoology and botany. I then went on with an honors degree in applied ecology. I then went further with elephant research up in Botswana. And then from there, I began working on natural resources and natural resource management and how communities interact with natural resources, especially communities living around protected areas, which are game reserves. So there was a deep love for nature and the spiritual side of nature, being out there amongst wildlife. When Suzanne and I got together and we began this journey, which is about the past 5 years, of intense personal development and really looking at the personal development industry from many angles. We traveled overseas. We've studied with the world's greats in terms of mind and money success and how to condition yourself for success and all of that, the mind power, if you will. But when we looked at it, for us, it was still quite empty because everything was still being taught in a conference hall, or you go to a hotel and you walk into the hotel and you get your pack. And so it was the same thing over and over and over again. Different methods and different ways of applying their success lesson, very valuable material. But what really struck a chord with us was when a very dear and loved mentor of ours, Bob Proctor, said, if you want to create the most change in a person, put them in a resourceful learning environment. Now, how profound was that, a resourceful learning environment? And so we began to ask ourselves, well, is a hotel conference room a resourceful learning environment where you've got guys jumping on stage every 90 minutes, giving you a little bit of motivation, inspiration, a bit of their story, and then basically selling you a package? Is that resourceful learning?
That's why the iPad was invented. There's a concert there for more than 25 minutes.
Well, this is it. And no disrespect to these multi-speaker events, but they actually just, while we realize their purpose, they didn't resonate deeply with us, because the work we do and who we work with, it's about creating massive change. Now, the funny thing is that massive change is not necessarily change on a great scale. And I'm really going to throw a curveball here. A beautiful mentor of mine, Pastor Robert Watson, who actually lives in the Bronx in New York, said to me one day, Chris, sometimes to reach unprecedented performance peaks, all you need are minor mental adjustment tweaks. So we're always looking for this huge answer, this huge solution, whereas in actual fact, it's those tiny, tiny recalibrations which take you from the equivalent of a high-performance car into a Formula One car. And that's what blew our mind. So my background in ecology, wildlife management, understanding the bush, and being able to relate so much of what goes on in the bush to business, etc., because they're just lessons. I mean, they're endless. What goes on? Competition, commensalism, mutualism, all of these beautiful wildlife lessons that are teaching us this richness around thought leadership in business and life are right there to hand. And so we created something, and I love that word created. We took our knowledge, we took our failures, all the massively difficult and traumatic lessons we've learned. We took all the knowledge that we've gained over the years around developing people and self-mastery and how to think for results, and we rolled it into a program which is now delivered in the African bush in a very exclusive upmarket environment.
I just want to maybe dwell on there for a moment, Susanna. I've got so much that I want to ask you. There's this African, I mean, he lives in America now, a guy who grew up here in South Africa, had a tremendous love for the bush, went overseas because married an American girl, you know. And then he developed this business theory called leopardology.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know Kivi Bernard. His father's quite a prominent South African rabbi. And he came up with this theory. I'll be honest, the first time I looked at it, I actually fell off my chair. I was laughing so hard. What on earth is leopardology? And I've had him in the studio twice, and he's come to visit, and we've chatted about these things. And there are some things that do resonate. And, you know, for someone who spends a fair amount of my spare time in the bush, the fact that a leopard will really look at the environment very, very carefully before he goes in. Mm. And then, you know, the other thing that I remember from the book was that a leopard will abandon a chase if it's no longer optimal. So he'll plan everything. He'll get going, or she will get going, and then realize that the environment's changed and they'll back out. Mm. Rather than spend the energy chasing nothing, let's call it quits and we made a mistake and we back off. Mm. Is it really practical to take bush experience and put it into business? Or are you really forcing the square peg through a round hole?
No. Great, great question. Absolutely not. In fact, it's not in any way trying to anthropomorphize, if I may use that word, situations. And I'll tell you why. I love the work that these guys have done around the power of the pride and leopardology and all of that. There's merit in it. There's merit in all these works. The whole thing is, when you go into the bush, what you're dealing with every single moment, and look, I look at it as a research scientist because that was my background. So I'm really looking at it from the cold clinical perspective, if you will, which might sound quite counter to personal growth, which people think is warm and fluffy. But what are the lessons? Let's take, for example, competition. The moment you understand competition in nature and you can visually see it, you understand the price that gets paid around competition. It is the law of tooth and claw, if you will. It is the fittest survive, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, when you take this back into business and you look at business owners who are constantly taking their business to the next level, most of them, and we've been so blessed because through our radio show, we've interviewed a number of them as well, they don't compete. They are constantly creating. They're looking for new opportunities. They really couldn't care what the opposition is doing. They're not worried about the price. They're not worried about the product. They are just constantly creating, inventing, moving forward. Now, that is so interesting because a creative energy is completely different to a competitive energy. And where you become too embroiled in a competitive energy, you actually start to fall into the trap of scarcity consciousness. In other words, the market's not big enough. There are not enough clients. They're not this, they're not that. And eventually, you're actually selling yourself a story where you're selling yourself straight up the river of failure. So we look at it very, very differently. And it is about seeing and taking and harnessing really powerful lessons in nature and then asking profound business questions around them. And instead of telling you what to think, stimulating thinking around that.
Chris, I'd like to just bottle that. If you could just do that for me, and because you know what you've just said. I couldn't write it down quick enough. But there were certain things in there that were absolutely profound.
Thank you.
And I want to come back to that, so just freeze that thought for me. Suzanne, but what I wanted to ask you is I just wrote two words down here, and that was street smart. And that's something for me that is really, really important. One thing I learned very, very early on is that there's nothing more infuriating and demoralizing when you've got this certain management style that's dictating how do you do your thing, but they've never done it themselves. And again, I don't remember the name of the movie, but there was a very poignant scene where there was and I think race is important in this context. There was a black NCO, non-commissioned officer, who was a phenomenal soldier and a phenomenal leader. And there was an officer, and this guy was just there because he had the money and he had the education, and they were in a scenario. And he turned around and he said, "Well, Sergeant, what do you think?" And the sergeant looked up and said, "Sir, I'm not paid to think." And that was really resonated with me, is that it's your damn job to think. That's what your rank says, that I've got the experience. I'm here to follow the order. Why are you reversing it simply because you can't do your job? You've been in the trenches. You've been there. You've gone forward. And maybe let's spend the next 5 or 6 minutes just discussing that. Many, many people come to me, and I've seen many, many people where they've had a change in career in the 30s and the 40s, and there's this sense of doom, the sense of I'm a failure, I've just buggered up, I can't move on, and they are down. And you just look at these people and say, but you did succeed, certain things didn't work, and yes, you hit the asphalt pretty hard, but your face is still intact. Now get up and move on. Nothing can be harder than listening to a lady speak about experience where there's just, not only is there failure, but there's responsibility in that failure. And many men feel that also, that how am I going to feed my family? How am I ever going to get rid? And it just becomes, you understand what I'm saying? You're nodding
for
away.
Sure.
So I'm going to try to keep quiet for the next 5 or 6 minutes and maybe just talk through your experience and let's get a sense of how one picks up their socks and moves on.
Well, it's actually so relevant, and thank you for asking the question, because what I did was I sold a very, very successful advertising business at its pinnacle. I opened a business with a partner, and we just wanted to be able to go watch our kids play sport when we wanted to, not get moaned at for having our nails done or having our hair done. Not because we were unproductive, but we didn't play golf. So if we weren't out for 3 hours on one afternoon playing a round of golf, why was going to one of our kids' sporting events considered a luxury? And so we started off by thinking we'd build this reasonably small advertising company, which went on to turn over 550 million rand in 9 years. And it wasn't planned. And that's also not a good thing. Although it was a pleasant surprise, it's also very important that you stop planning and focusing on what you want as a goal. And when I moved out of that business, I made a few emotional decisions, which women sometimes do make. And I pitched a go big or go home business strategy. First time I've had many businesses. I've been very entrepreneurial, always been massively successful. But I was going towards a goal with my right hand, by using my left hand to go around Johannesburg. I mean, I was going from Pretoria to Sandton, but I was going to go via the airport, via Boksburg, through Springs, around Nigel, do a couple of loops, end up back at Wimpbank to get to Sandton. Because I didn't trust my dream enough. I didn't know what I wanted with such conviction to believe that I could have it. So I felt I had to take all these detours to get what I wanted for a change. So in the end, I made a 7.5 million rand business fiasco and then kept feeding it for about a year afterwards of absolutely flogging a dead horse. And Chris and I realized we had to put a stake in the ground, learn the lesson, pick ourselves up and carry on. And it dents your self-concept. Because I had a great self-concept in business that I was pretty much bulletproof. But only this time I didn't believe that I could have what I wanted. I didn't believe I deserved it. I didn't believe I was worth it. And I was right. Because you get what you focus on. So it was very difficult to decide, do we actually now sit down, design what we want, be absolutely focused on what it is that we want and start over, or does Chris go back into the world of finance and become an executive member within the financial fraternity, and do I go and get a job back in advertising? And the answer was hell no. I didn't learn that lesson to now go back and get a job. So we started again 2.5 years ago. And we started with an absolute pile of ashes, but we started with the best conviction, the best faith, and the best knowledge that what we are doing is so good for South Africa, for Africa, and the message will get around the world.
As you're talking, I'm just thinking, you know, but this lady has had a failure and, you know, therefore... And then I caught myself, and just two examples came to mind. The one was Walt Disney, who really was a nothing until his 70s, where this little cartoon actually finally, but he never, ever, ever, ever gave up.
No.
And there were failures. Chris, you want to say something?
Avi, I do. Suzanne and I met in our 40s, and we got married. So we not only... got together with a boatload or a backpack of baggage. But when the equivalent of World War V tsunami struck our world financially, we were wiped out. What you saw in Fukushima on the TV or whatever, that's what it looked like. And I am so grateful to have her as my wife. I am so grateful to have her as a loving, dedicated marriage partner. And the reason I say that is when things have become almost unbearable, when it feels as if your soul is being torn asunder, when you have a wife who can stand by you and who just loves you, you know what? You find the resolve to keep going.
We need to break, but there's no SMSs coming through, and there's only two reasons for that. Either no one's listening, which I know is not true because there was a flurry before, or we've hit a nerve and there are people parked their cars on the side of the road. People are sitting in their garages at work because what you just said, following on from what Suzanne built up, resonates with so many people out there. You know, we all grew up saying, oh, we're hearing it's tough times, times are tough. We are living at the moment in extremely difficult times. Anybody would know that cash flow has dried up, that there's plenty business to be had, but there's no cash flow to back it up. Anybody in the artisan field, plumbers, electrician, you can go pick up tenders wherever you want. The question is, how are you going to get your bucky to the tender site because the last three jobs haven't paid you and they're all waiting for a line behind them? And yet people continue. And if they don't have the support system, then why get up in the morning? Let's take a quick break. We'll be back in a moment.
Avi on Money, 12 to 1 p.m., only on 101.9 Chai FM.
Welcome back to 101.9 Chai FM. I'm just going to read these live ads quickly because otherwise we'll just get away, you know, without ever reading anything. Just to remind you once again that Isaac Resnick is back on the radio. He's doing the talk of the town. It's on Tuesday between 6 and 7 p.m. Don't miss it. A great show. Anything you want to know that's happening in the community, Isaac Gresnik is there. And just to also let you know that Chai FM is really concerned about all the members in our community, including the young ones. So Chai FM wants you to know that if you'd like to come and see children's program as part of our programming menu, let us know by sending an SMS to, with Kids Radio Yes. That's three words. Kids Radio Yes or Kids Radio No to 34519. SMS are charged at 1 rand 50, 101.9 Chai FM, 101.9 megahertz of community. Suzanne, maybe let's talk a little bit, because I'm really trying to get through everything here, even though it's not really the way I would like to do it. And you guys are definitely going to be penciled in for the next show right after this one, and maybe a little bit more structured. Women in business.
Yes.
You know, Chris, I don't think I'm brave enough to say what I SMS just came through. I just told my son to tune in, as I know it'll help him. Yep, that's what it's all about. I said to you, when the SMSs don't come in, then I know that we're really resonating on a point like that. Women in business. I'm a very, very privileged person. I mean, I have been exposed to women in business since I was a little kid. My mother went into business when I was in primary school and had been very successful. And it's built a name as an ethical, upstanding business person, rather putting that always before the rand. Or the dollar, be that as it may, there's a whole genre around women in business. And one thing that you said really, really hit a nerve with me is that the individual tends to morph and change when they come into a position, because now they need to compete with the man on the same thing. As I just said, I grew up with women in business, and it doesn't make a difference whether they're wearing a skirt or a pair of trousers, you know, to be stereotypical. It's the individual that is good at what they do. And why does gender come into it? Where's the whole focus around that lost track?
I think a lot of it has got to do with media exposure. You know, there becomes this fascination with women in business. And women have been in business for years and years and years. And there's a drive for gender equality, which I'm all for. But what I find is that women, the most successful women to me, are women who come into business positions, whether it be corporate or entrepreneurial, and can still be themselves. A woman does not need to come into a business environment and suddenly make it a competition where they need to be one of the boys. And I think this is an area for great conflict, because when you start trying to acquire some of the characteristics of your male counterparts, whether they're your peers or your equal, you're actually in a state of conflict, and you can become more moody. Because when you are not in your natural state of being a woman and standing in your power of feminine essence, and it's a powerful thing to be, whether it's masculine or feminine, when you're trying to actually switch to behave in a more dominant way, because that's how you feel the men in the environment are behaving, you're actually going to start elevating hormonal levels in yourself, where you are looking for more testosterone. So let's say, for instance, because you now want to be more aggressive instead of becoming more assertive and standing in your power. It's going to affect your moods. The chemical reaction in your brain has got to change. And therefore, you find that you can sometimes find that you're just not behaving as your natural self. And I don't believe that that's necessary. And it is a huge passion of mine. And, you know, Chris is with me on this journey to actually have focused executive leadership development for women only, where you actually address it in a platform where they feel completely secure. It's not a sign of weakness to say, put my hand up and say, you know what, I'm finding it difficult. I'm not getting it right in the workplace because I'm surrounded by men and I feel I have to compete with them on their level. Compete with them on a mind level in terms of the fact of, I am as bright, I have as much genius within me, I have everything going for me, and in fact, I have one more, because women can actually reason better than men. In a conflict situation, If a woman is standing in her power, she's going to look for a win-win resolution for both parties, not a win at all cost. That goes back to the leopard. They're not going to win at all costs because they can get hurt in the process. Same with anybody in a situation. James Kahn told me that a win-win situation is the only way in business. Be prepared to walk away.
Absolutely. And Chris, what you were saying before, and just to tie it in, a leopard doesn't become a cheetah, and a hyena doesn't become a lynx. Each one, a lion will adapt to different environments, to different territories, but essentially remains who they are. And that's something that my experience has been very bitter in certain business areas, where people assume a different persona in the position. And it's a different persona in the office, different persona out the office, different persona in certain environments. And as I said to you, you know, off the cuff, just choose a mood. I don't care which one it is. But let me know what the consistent status is going to be within parameters. But this constant shifting and changing
for
personalities
sure.
is enough to drive your work colleagues insane.
Well, also, you know, ultimately, it doesn't matter what your product is. It doesn't matter what your content is. It doesn't matter in life. What really matters is your context. People are going to do business with you. And if you are not being authentic to who you really are, just look at the stress that you're placing on yourself. If you've got a personality at home, a personality with your kids, a personality with your husband, same with the husband when he comes home. If he's got a different personality with his family, at some stage, stress is going to be the overriding factor. And this is what we've really focused on this year with businesses, with women in business, is positioning the power. The most powerful thing you have is the fact that the mind is an activity. It's not a thing. Your mind is an activity. And if you are filling that activity with content that is irrelevant and destructive, you're going to have a problem.
Chris, I think, let's hold our thoughts. I know you've got you, but we got to go to the shops. Otherwise, advertisers get upset. But just to let you know that Chris and Suzanne Oaks have written two books that I know of. One's called The Little Book of Declarations for AfriCan. That's been AfriCan, which I think is amazing. Entrepreneurs. And then Put the I Back in Team. Put the I Back in Team. What am I missing there?
Well, you know, they say there's no I in team, but if you've got 15 people on your team, you've got 15 individuals that you want to harness their collective energy to be a team.
Absolutely. Brilliant. Let's take a quick break and we'll be back in a moment.
Avi on Money, 12 to 1 p.m. only on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back to 101.9 High FM. I suppose that's the challenge of having chats off airs. When you go back on air, you sometimes get caught slightly unawares. Chris, Suzanne, the hour has flown, as I said to you, Edward. There are so many things we want to discuss. So first of all, for everybody who's asking, yes, we are going to discuss now how to get hold of them, what the website address, phone numbers, all that, and also to let you know when they're going to be coming back on the show, and we'll be slightly more focused. I've tried to really cover the whole gambit of everything that we do. But where do you guys get hold of you? Let's talk about your website. Let's talk about your seminars, coaching. What's that all about?
Lovely. We do a group of coaching between individuals, couples, entrepreneurs, and corporate training. So you can get hold of us on our website, makesyouthink.co.za. We also have the world's only exclusive women's executive leadership development training, which we have an event coming up on the 22nd to the 25th of July. It's going to be covered also by a national women's magazine. And if you'd like information on that, you can go to mindpowersafari.com.
Avi, thank you for asking us how people can contact us. And as we close today's show, I would like to really share with you something from the heart. When I left school and went through all my university educations, things happened for me very quickly. At the age of 23, I was invited to go and speak at the House of Lords in London on human-elephant conflict. So I was really moving very, very fast. But I didn't know who I was. Now, that might shock you. I had no idea what my authentic self was. I was creating success for myself through the models of everybody else. And because of that, no matter how much I tried to succeed, I couldn't. No matter how much success I enjoyed, it was empty. Those are shocking statements to make, but it's the absolute truth because there was a hole in my soul. So I had the string of degrees behind my name. I moved into the world of retail banking. I had no knowledge. Within 5 years, I was a general manager of one of the very big business units of one of the large retail banks in South Africa. I had teams of hundreds of people reporting into me. Yet there was a hole that persisted in my soul. And as a result of this extreme journey and finally finding out how to connect with my authentic self, the beauty of that is that I now know where my true greatness lies. And this is not airy-fairy motivational nonsense. This is where your true greatness and power source lies. This is when you are on song. And when you find that, and you are bold and brave enough to step into that and then to go and use those God-given talents and use them to serve, everything else will follow, including money, and you will be rewarded beyond your wildest imagination. But that's the whole thing. People get it wrong. They put the cart before the horse. And I'm so grateful, sorry, Suze, I'm so grateful for the very extreme journey that life has bestowed upon me because I've learned so much and now I know who I am, whereas before I was lost.
We so love serving communities and, you know, we come out to different communities when we're invited and where there are communities where money's an issue, where there's a group of people that have had some failures, they're feeling absolutely lost. And we come and we spend a day teaching them internationally recognized methodologies, techniques to help them refine their passion and success. And it's one of the most wonderful things. We've been out in Cosmo City. We were out in Reicher Park last week. And we'll come to any community and chat to people within the community and teach everything that we have learned, both on a life lesson and both what we've studied with international teachers. Chris and I are two of only 200 facilitators of a business program called Thinking Into Results, and we come and we teach that into the community too, which would cost usually around $25,000-$35,000 per person. We'll come and teach you because it's around spreading the message, uplifting everybody, because we know whatever we give out, it flows. Money flows. The reason why cash flow has dried up is because people have stopped spending the money, and money has to flow. We've all become afraid. We're holding on to everything we have. And if money doesn't flow, abundance doesn't flow.
We're out of time, but let me just share two things with you. The one is I learned a wonderful adage from a friend of mine where if I've got a candle and you need light, and you put your candle to mine, all that happened is I've doubled the light. Sure. I have lost absolutely nothing. And the translation of the Hebrew is this, this one doesn't lose, this one benefits and this one doesn't lose. In other words, it's a win-win situation.
For sure.
And then I saw a T-shirt, and I don't know why it stuck in my mind. Someone was wearing a T-shirt with a crazy-looking person on it and said, I know I'm great because God don't create junk. Crystal, you like that one?
I do.
If I find that T-shirt, I'll get it for you.
I do.
Just before we end off, just to let you know that Thabo Malangeni again is on the radio every Thursday at 6 p.m. They're bringing you updates about the World Cup. I enjoy the show. He's really, really great. I spent a year with him in the studio when we started. Great to see him having such success. Suzanne, Chris, I've been riveted. Apologies because we just haven't had time. And looking at me out the window there, I'm running out of time. Let's sit down and set a next one. And how do people get hold of you? What's your website address?
www.makesyouthink.co.za or mindpowersafari.com.
Fantastic. Thank you. It's 1 o'clock.